Welcome to the Power of Food podcast. We are so excited to bring you evidence-based nutrition information focusing on addressing the root cause for imbalance. Food has the power to help you achieve lifelong optimal health without the side effects of prescription medication. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. I am Stacy Seslowski, functional nutrition registered dietitian.
And I am Leah Grace Barrick, functional nutritionist.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Power of Food podcast. We have a very special guest with us here today, Dr. Jessie Haymeyer. Dr. Jessie Haymeyer is the physician founder of Well Empowered, where she practices data-driven, outcome-oriented functional medicine. She created Well Empowered with one commitment in mind: providing you with the foundation of health and vitality that transforms your experience of life and alters what is possible for you. Dr. H takes a root cause natural medicine approach to wellness. In working one-on-one with groups or delivering corporate wellness webinars, Dr. H's guidance balances science and heart, providing the information, inspiration, and strategies needed to translate information into sustainable and transformative health outcomes. Dr. H earned her Master of Science in Human Nutrition and Functional Medicine from the University of Western States, which, fun fact, is also where Stacy and I went and met each other, and a doctorate in chiropractic medicine from National University of Health Sciences. She is an IFM certified practitioner, a licensed dietitian nutritionist, a certified nutrition specialist, and has learned from physicians at the forefront of functional medicine, including Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Tom O'Brien, and Dr. Dadis Karazian. Prior to attending graduate school, she established herself as an expert in the fitness industry, earning 7 certifications and founding the first high-intensity personal training facility in Chicago at the age of 25. In her spare time, you will find Dr. H with her husband, Chris, doing yoga, hiking, strength training, traveling, or preparing a beautiful, healthy meal for loved ones. Welcome to the Power of Food, Dr. H.
Thank you so much, Leah. It's such a pleasure to be here with you and Stacy and your tribe.
Well, we're so excited to have you here. I mean, your background is so impressive. And I would love to just start off by you telling us a bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today on a little bit of a deeper level and what really brought you into the functional medicine sphere.
Yeah, well, I would say one thing I like to say is straight lines are boring, right? So I don't know if you ladies can relate to that, but you know, for me, really arriving at what I do professionally was born out of my personal experience. And where that started for me was growing up in my childhood and teens as a dancer, with body being front and center in a big part of taking up a big part of my headspace, right? And growing into my 20s, still dancing, but not at the level as I did previously, and still having this kind of up and down relationship with my body and food and the scale, and riding what I like to call the weight loss roller coaster. And, you know, somewhere in my mid 20s, I really had a couple of aha moments, but fundamentally, if I were to boil down the essence of it, of these aha moments, what I would say is I really got that what I was doing wasn't working, right? And it wasn't working not just in the, from the standpoint of sustaining a weight that felt great to me. It certainly wasn't working from that perspective. But beyond that, it wasn't working in the context of what I want my life to be about, right? I really got that my struggle with food and my body and the scale was interfering with my ability to be fully present, to contribute fully, and to really experience the joy and wonder of life at the level I'm committed to. So when I got that, it was kind of like game over, right? I game over, and also simultaneously, I surrender, right? I surrender to, you know, a higher power. Let's find a new way of doing this. And so as I began on my own journey of what I now call mastering your middle ground, I delved into both the science and the heart, the art and heart of sustained change. And along the way, got really clear that I wanted to be able to provide this kind of transformative experience to others. And I saw that in order to do so, I needed to learn the science behind it, because I really got that what worked for me wouldn't necessarily work for someone else. And I didn't want to take a cookie cutter approach. I wanted to be able to work with the individual in front of me. That led me to graduate school and all that came after, fundamentally to where we are today.
So amazing. And congratulations to you for at a young age, recognizing that that focus that we have as women on just our body image is, it takes over, right? Like it really like becomes like a priority for us, while like we can't really live a focused life on anything else because we're constantly like thinking like, did I gain weight? It's, you know, how does my stomach look? How does my butt look? Like all these things, you know? So how did you like at that young age, like overcome that, like, you know, struggle, I guess?
Yeah. Well, first of all, when I got what it was costing me and I kind of surrendered to finding a new way of doing what I was doing, you know, working to support my health and my body, when I got what it was for, that it was really, you know, triumphing in this area of my life would allow me to be of service, it really shifted the way I related to the actual things to do, right? And I also created at that time what I now call my vision of vitality. I didn't call it anything at the time, but what I got really clear on, I call it now my vision of vitality, but really another way we could say it is my intention for my health and my life. What's my intention for my health and my life? And, you know, my intention is I'm empowered by the beauty and ability of my mind, body, and spirit. And through realizing my fullest potential, I'm able to empower others to realize their fullest potential. So that's my intention for my health and my life. And when I created it in my mid-20s, I really started to ask myself a question over and over again. And that question was, what most aligns with my intention? And I started on that journey, and that gave me access to making new choices in different moments in a way that I wasn't able to before, because it wasn't about self-aggression. It wasn't about being good or bad. It was simply an inquiry of what most aligns. It doesn't need to be perfect, but it's a better choice right now and will move me towards this North Star that I call my intention for my health and my life, or vision of vitality. So that was the, you know, experiential journey. And then, you know, there were the learnings, learning the science behind supporting satiety, and then noticing how it actually played out in my body and my life. And then also, you know, one of the things that I see is really foundational to mastering this area of your life is cultivating an ability to be kind and honest. And so that means being kind with oneself, but also looking equally at where we are winning, we might say, or are really proud of ourselves is maybe a better way to say it. And also where we are falling short of our intended actions. Right. And so being able to see that with kindness and kind of think about, OK, what might I do differently in the future? How can I learn from this, rather than use it as I would have previously, which was, you know, as an opportunity to beat myself up. Right. So it really was, you know, just a gigantic perspective shift that happened over a period of time. Right. There was not just one thing that allowed it to be possible. Right. It was, you know, for me, movement is a form of meditation. So there was always, you know, movement for me has always been a joyful part of my life. So, you know, yoga gave me a space to be with myself and all of the emotions that come up in our human experience on a mat, and then bring it with me out in a social setting or at a celebration, and being able to find space and time to connect with myself and really inquire in those moments where there can naturally be a lot of noise, you know, what best serves me in this moment. That's all. What best serves me?
I love that so much. There's so much there. I love the movement. I'm similar where it's like, I feel like so often we're so in our heads, right? We're so logical. That's what we value in the society. And we're thinking all these things. And so many people get so trapped in there that sometimes we really need those embodiment practices and that movement to really get outside of our minds and into our bodies and really feel. And a lot of that disconnection that we feel in our mind and our body is often like one of those root causes of all of the stuff that we're talking about as well. So the more that we can kind of connect those two, I think it really helps the healing journey. So it's awesome that you found that works for you. And also when you were talking, I was just thinking about like this inner critic that we all have and how we just need to be kinder to ourselves, right? Like something I often think about is like, would you talk to, you know, your best friend or your daughter or whoever, like you talk to yourself? And so finding the grace within that and really trying to just be nicer to yourself and be like, you're doing great. Life is hard sometimes. Like you got this, like you don't need to beat yourself up. So I love that you seem to have really, you know, cultivated that as well. And when you were talking about the vision of vitality, I really like that too. And that kind of reminds me, I often have my clients like really focus on their why. Like, what is the why behind you wanting to make lifestyle changes, you wanting to do X, Y, and Z, all of these. And then, you know, when it gets hard, keep coming back to that and remembering your why, because I think it's so important to really get that perspective. Because again, like day to day, we kind of have our blinders on, we're going through the motions and we forget to take a step back and look at that high level overview of like, what's the real reason I'm doing this? Like, what's the real reason I want to nourish myself? I want to eat breakfast. I want to do whatever it is that we're trying to do. And that can be really helpful. And something else that I found can be really helpful too is just like, it sounds very similar to the vision of vitality, but like just getting super clear with your values, like in life, and then making decisions and choices and doing things in your life that are in alignment with that. And then everything will kind of start to flow. Like you don't really have to think about it too much once you come back to that place. So I love all of that. That's really, really great and insightful. I would love for you to talk a little bit about empowered and sustained weight loss. So for people that do actually want to lose weight in a healthy way, is there, I know you were saying at one point, there's a question that can kind of like transform what's possible for them. How do you guide people through this? What approach do you take to weight loss? Because like there are so many people out there, right, who do want to lose weight. And also a lot of people who recognize that, you know, it can be a slippery slope in many ways. So how do you navigate those waters with people in your practice?
Yeah, those are some great questions. And actually, Leah, you really started to tap into one of the key questions, right? You know, the why. I'm a big believer that in any area of our life, whether it's around our health or around our relationships or our finances or our education, we don't quote unquote buy what we do, we buy why we do it. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you think about your studies and the what behind it, you know, late nights, maybe all-nighters, you know, like whatever it was, like that it took to have the information you have now to be able to do what you do, right? The what, if we just wrote down on paper what you had to do without you knowing your why, you'd be like, no thanks. Okay, that sounds like not a lot of fun, right? So really, yeah, people getting very clear on their why. And the exercise I walk people through in this process is I actually, and you know, for your listeners, I really invite you to do this exercise. And that might mean that in this moment you take a few notes and you come back to it later. But I really do invite you to do this exercise. And the exercise involves a little bit of time traveling. So you're going to time travel to a 5-year future. So 5 years from now, the story you're going to tell first is the story of you with your health as you intend and desire it occur, right? So you'll tell that story of how your body is, what it's like to be in your body, your experience of yourself, maybe even what's now possible for you in your life, right? For many people who really struggle in this area of their lives, right? They experience where they are with their weight as a barrier to progressing professionally or progressing in the level of intimacy with their partner or with any partner. You know, there are a lot of different layers to this area of or intimacy with themselves, you know? So there's so many different things someone might see about this intended future, but really telling the story of 5 years from now, first person present tense, what's life like for you with your health handled? So that's the first time traveling exercise, right? The second time traveling exercise is the 5-year future that would be a downward spiral from today. So admittedly, a less pleasant exercise, but also important, right? It's important for us to look at, okay, if nothing changed, what is a possible or maybe even likely 5-year future for me? And telling that story in first person present tense. And, you know, this is really just a practice in confronting reality, right? It's, you know, all of us make change given by, I like to think of it either as the carrot dangling or the stick on the back. And we all make change given by both those factors. So that's in essence where this exercise begins. And when I work with people one-on-one, we move from there to creating, you know, taking that first 5-year future and teasing out the essence of it such that what they have is really, you know, like a beautiful expression of their true intention, you know, one that makes their heart go pitter patter because it's just simply put their truth. And, you know, starting with that as the North Star gives people access to a different way of relating to choices. You know, like you were saying, Leah, the in the moment, you know, the extra drink versus you in a celebratory setting, maybe a no-win situation, right? Just one that the past has showed us, you don't win when it's you against the drink. But when it's the drink against your intended future, then people start to get creative about coming up with solutions that work for the totality of who they are, right? Work for the part of them who wants to join in the celebration and also work for the part of them who's deeply devoted to their health.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like thinking of that 5-year goal and then working backwards, say, well, what would be even the first thing I'd, you know, the last thing at the you know, fourth year to do, what would be the thing I would do at the third year and the second year? And then you get to present and focusing on the moment for your 5-year goal. I love that because it's kind of a logical way that we can work on any of our goals, whether it be business related, you know, health related, anything like that. So that's a really great, something that you can concrete, like write down and really have a plan for. And I think that's when we make the best decisions, when it's not an impulsive, when we're actually planning or in an organized way. So what are some of the like first steps then in the first year that we can do if our goal is in 5 years to be our optimal health and a healthy weight that, you know, most of us women feel good at?
Yeah, well, the first step would be getting data, right? Understanding where you are physiologically as a starting point, right? Are you diabetic? Are you pre-diabetic? Are you at a high risk of heart disease, right? These are all knowable numbers. Beyond the health risks, data can give us a better understanding of your unique physiological points of leverage, right? If inflammation is elevated, it's going to be really difficult to move the needle on the scale until we handle that, right? If your B12 is low, not only are you likely lower energy and maybe less likely to get up in the morning and work out because you're so tired, but also your detox pathways aren't going to be running really as efficiently and effectively as we'd like them to be, which means your hormones will be imbalanced, right? So there are a lot of different things in the data world, but that's the next step I'd have people lean into is getting data and working with someone so that they know how to use that information as it pertains to their health, their commitments, their intended future.
Yeah, it's so important. And I'm so glad you talked about that because I think there's still, which I think we're all in a bubble, but I think there's still this super common narrative that to lose weight, all you have to do is eat less and exercise more. And it's that simple. And if it doesn't work, there's something wrong with you. So it's like, wow, can we just take a step back and acknowledge that, like, that doesn't work, right? Like, if that worked, no one would be walking around super frustrated that they can't lose weight and all of that. So there's so much more that goes into weight gain, weight loss resistance, all of that. Can you speak on some of those common weight loss resistance causes that you see that people might be struggling with and, you know, how you typically navigate that in practice? Because I think a lot of it too comes down to what we were talking about earlier with how people talk to themselves and how they think about themselves, because then if they're doing all the right things and it's not working, then they kind of, you know, beat themselves up or think something's wrong with them or think like just really poorly of themselves. So I think it's really refreshing to hear like that there are so many other things that could be happening. And then once you know what it is, then you can make a plan to address it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. Very well said. Well, one thing I'll start off with, and as we kind of like look at three recurring barriers to weight loss, the first thing I'll say is, I know this is a heartbreaking statement, but it's probably not your thyroid. I know, people are shedding tears, right? Like people far and wide, I understand, you know, it's really common for people to want it to be their thyroid because it feels like, well, if it's my thyroid, it's a quick fix and then I'm on my merry way, done. And the truth is, even if it is your thyroid, and even, you know, what I mean by that is even if your thyroid is underactive, I've never seen it be just your thyroid. Not yet. I'm willing to be surprised, but not yet. So yes, of course, you want to have your thyroid well evaluated, meaning not just one number, but a variety of assessments to determine if your thyroid is working well, you're converting your inactive to your active thyroid hormone, all the different things that you know, functional medicine community people will be able to help you with. But so yes, you want your thyroid fully thoroughly assessed. And then beyond that, the three common physiological barriers, number one is decreased insulin sensitivity. And, you know, this decreased insulin sensitivity, or maybe better said, suboptimal insulin sensitivity, is very different than lab normal, right? Lab normal goes up to 19, and I want to see it at 7 or less, you know? So there's a big difference between, oh, your fasting insulin is normal and your fasting insulin is optimal. And that gap is going to play a huge role on your metabolism. It's going to play a huge role on whether you're storing fuel, AKA storing fat, or burning it. So number one is your optimizing your fasting insulin if it's not in an optimal range. Number two is elevated inflammation. And there are a lot of different ways we can test inflammation. Two very common ones that I turn to are hsCRP and homocysteine. And you know that hsCRP, this is a high sensitivity C-reactive protein. It's looking at total body chronic inflammation. And we want to see it under 1.5, under 1's even better, but under 1.5, it's really unlikely that this is in the way of your metabolism, but we don't know until we test it. And the other thing that I'd say about that is, you know, oftentimes, and I'm sure you ladies see this too, people will come, you know, to my office, my virtual office, and will say something like, you know, oh, I'm so inflamed, and I'll ask them what it feels like, and they'll say, you know, my joints hurt, or I'm bloated, or my skin's red, you know, whatever they have to say. But more often than not, people don't have any symptoms of inflammation. We only know that inflammation is elevated by testing, right? So that hsCRP, I really consider it an essential mandatory number to have on everyone in an up-to-date fashion. And then another one being homocysteine, which is, you know, related to B metabolism, B12 and folate in particular, B6 also, but it is also a marker of inflammation I look at, and I like to see that between 6 and 8. So we have suboptimal insulin, we have elevated inflammation, and then the third one, very fancy words I'm going to use here, detox pathways gunked up, right? And so detox pathways gunked up, just really, this is an assessment I reach through a variety of numbers. First of all, if the nutrients we need for our detoxification pathways are showing as low or suboptimal, by default, I know detox pathways aren't working well. I don't need to do any additional fancy tests to assess that. And that's usually how it works, right? So whether it's looking at B12 or understanding their daily protein intake so that we, you know, can make sure they have the amino acids for their detox pathways to work. The word detox is so chic these days, but, you know, a lot of people forget that these are actual physiological processes that are happening and designed to take toxins from things that are naturally stored in fat, what we call lipophilic, and turn them into things that we can excrete that are hydrophilic. We get them out of our body. They're turned into things that we can get out in our urine, in our bowel movements, in our sweat, in our breath. So, you know, that's the whole objective of healthy detoxification pathways. And when they're not working well, you know, not just the toxins we encounter in our day-to-day life and our pollution or maybe in our food or personal care products, but also our hormones, whether they're the ones we make ourselves or we're taking extra hormones for whatever reason, whether it's contraception or HRT, those are still going to go through our detox pathways too. And if they're not running well, it's going to interfere with our metabolism.
Those were such amazingly like simplified ways of describing really complicated processes that take place in our body. But what I love the most about those three specific areas that you focused on is that none of them are related to cutting back your calories and exercising more. They are all related to addressing underlying imbalances that we actually sometimes have to eat more food to address. I can't tell you how those are, there's such common imbalances that I am seeing. And, you know, I think Leah and I both have started using more continuous glucose monitors, like you were mentioning that first one, the insulin sensitivity. And it is so eye-opening because you will miss that insulin resistance and that higher blood sugar that I'm constantly seeing in so many people just from looking at routine blood work. It will be missed. I'm recognizing now that we are walking around with higher blood sugar than we realize, that we don't see on our routine blood work. And just like you were saying, that is triggering a secretion of insulin, and insulin tells your body to store fat. So if we are struggling with weight loss, it really could be because we have higher blood sugar than we want that is triggering that insulin release, and we're just, you know, storing fat because of that. So it's so important, those three areas that you mentioned. So let me ask you specifically about inflammation. What are some of the strategies that you start with to figure out what is triggering a person's inflammation and how then to reduce that?
Well, I would say a few things, Stacey. So first of all, the totality of the person's story, right? Their personal health story will help me direct my efforts, right? It, for example, if someone comes to me and tells me, they're constipated. Maybe they have two or three bowel movements a week, or maybe they have bowel movements daily, but they're difficult to pass, or they're little bunny pellets, right? They're constipated in some way, shape, or form, or they're bloated, or they have diarrhea all the time, all these different things. I'm going to be thinking about their microbiome as a source of inflammation, right? If I'll be thinking about the microbiome as the source of inflammation if for a lot of different reasons, right? Skin stuff or autoimmune stuff. But also, you know, when I do work with people, I have them keep a nutrition and symptom tracker, a shared nutrition and symptom tracker that I'm in and out. And so I find lots of points of leverage there. Right. And through that looking back and forth, I can learn, see points of leverage that no lab can tell me. And we get to work on those things. So nutritionally speaking, simple carbs and sugar, right? Those are public enemy number one over and over again, but also, you know, alcohol in excess amounts. And, you know, simply put, not sleeping enough. That's a recurring theme that we see in this day and age, is insufficient sleep, because that's when our body does do a physiological reset. It's when You know, especially as it pertains to our insulin sensitivity, we get a lot of, when we sleep, when we're sleeping enough, the next day, our body will be nimble and responding to what we're bringing into it. In other words, our glucose won't rise as high and therefore our insulin won't rise as high. So it really is an individualized approach, and then using supplements as indicated for the individual, whether it's a very well-absorbed curcumin, not all curcumin is created equally, as I know you two know, and using it in the right dose for the person, which may not always correspond to what it says on the bottle, whether it's assessing their omega-3 fatty acids that and seeing that as a point of leverage for, you know, throwing water on the flame, whether it's you know, for some people, it's using some of these pro-resolving mediators, these SPMs that can help break this vicious cycle of inflammation. So the approach taken is definitely unique to the individual, but certainly a common theme is in on a nutritional front is looking for points of leverage to reduce pro-inflammatory foods and also bring in lots of anti-inflammatory foods in a way that works for the person, right? Not a Whole 30, all or nothing approach. I, you know, very rarely go whole hog on any hardcore nutritional approach unless someone comes to me and they are a walking heart attack and they are not going to take my recommendation to go get on statins. Then it's like, okay, then we're going all in, right? If that's the way we're going to do this, then fine, we're going all in. But outside of that, you know, it really is being specific, looking at the specific points of leverage for the person in front of me.
Yeah, it's so important to A, get someone's history, as you mentioned, and look at like, what are they actually doing? There's so much that a food diary, food journal can tell us. And I always feel like a detective when I'm like going through. So that's awesome that you use those. And I think can really tell you so much. And then the other piece that I'm so glad you mentioned is sleep, which is like, in my opinion, the number one thing, honestly, like, and I see a lot of people, especially like really busy moms and that kind of thing, who are cutting on their sleep. So they're waking up at like 5 a.m, waking up, doing cardio, all of these things, and then super frustrated that they're not losing weight. And they would probably get so much more out of just sleeping that extra hour, not doing the cardio, and, you know, focusing on some little tweaks in their diet. So I'm so glad you mentioned sleep, because I think that one is so overlooked and it's so, so, so important. So thank you for mentioning that.
That's so well said, Leah. It's true. It's, you know, I understand that it's counterintuitive, but yeah, a lot of those women, it's like, actually, we want you to exercise less and yeah, sleep more. That's part of your journey, right?
Yeah. Every day, I think.
So Dr. H, can you just talk about those 5 essentials of weight loss mastery that you have and typically talk to clients about?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of them, a few of them we've kind of touched on here and there, but actually the first one that I really believe is essential is cultivating the ability to be kind and honest, right? We talked about that a little bit before, but to say a little more about it, for most people who struggle in this area of their life, they choose one or the other, right? They choose being kind, and so they don't look. They don't look at what they're doing. They don't look at the scale. Maybe even they don't go to the doctor, but I hope not, right? You know, they just don't look, right? And the other option being honest, so looking at the scale, watching what they're doing nutritionally, and beating themselves up anytime they're less than whatever they believe is perfect. So I promise there is a way to be both kind and honest, right? To look at what you're doing and not doing, to look at the facts associated with your current state of health, and be kind and gentle in your journey ahead. But it is a practice for a lot of people. It's not always something people were born with. So, but the first is really being kind and honest. The second essential is getting clear that you are always saying no to something, right? We are all always saying no to something. So either we're a no to the third piece of pizza, or we're a no to our intention for our health and our life, right? We're a no to the extra alcohol, or we're a no to our intention, right? We are always saying no to something. So getting that is very useful for, because for a lot of people, they have the experience of deprivation when they're a no to, you know, the pizza or the dessert or whatever it is. And they don't really get that they are, can be a no to themselves at other moments. And so really seeing that is useful. Number three is getting clear on your intention for your health or your vision of vitality, right? So getting clear on your intention for your health and staying connected to it. And number four is starting to automate, seeing what works well and duplicating that in your life. And this automation process is really one that is ever evolving. So whether it's automating your environment, right, you see that it works really well when you have avocados on your kitchen table rather than brownies. Okay, good thing to know, right? Let's keep doing that. Doesn't mean you can't have brownies in the house, but just know what works in your environment to play the game you're committed to playing, right? That's just one example. But then also looking at, you know, what works in different situations. You know, I talk to some of my clients who I work with. We talk about a reverse curfew for alcohol. So meaning I won't start until, right? That I have got work with quite a few women who do a lot of entertaining for work. And so it's a game of like, okay, I'm not going to start until they bring my entree, right? Whatever it might be, rather than starting before they even sit down, right? And now by the time they bring their entree, they've had two drinks and they're on their third, right? And it's just a slippery slope real fast. That's just one example. But looking at what strategies work to, that you can duplicate in different environments. And then number five is seeking the guidance of someone who you trust, who will be able to help you, right? And you would do the same if you were committed to getting really good at tennis, right? If you suddenly got inspired by the amazing Coco this weekend and you're like, I am going to be an amazing tennis player. I get you. I feel you. Right. And then the next step is like, let's go get a coach. Right. So the same thing here, right? If you want to get better at your back end, you get a tennis coach. If you want to get better at this area of your life where you have years or maybe decades of not yet being able to produce and sustain outcomes, then find someone, and there are many amazing people who you trust can guide you in your journey.
Yeah, no doubt I'm jealous of Coco's discipline. She's amazing. And what I was thinking about while you were describing a lot of those strategies is that what this really entails is putting yourself first, like really making yourself a priority, which I think is a real big struggle for many people. You know, you put everyone else first, you put your whole family, you put your job, you put, you know, your children, everything is always goes first, and just self-care. It's like, just like, I think I've probably said this so many times, that analogy where you can't put that mask on your child on the airplane until you put it on yourself. You can't take care of other people until you take care of yourself. So I think that's a big lesson for, you know, just many people in general.
Absolutely. And you know, that ties into a concept that I've been noodling on lately, and it's one I call practice prioritization, right? We all have years and decades of prioritizing some things over others. And for many people and many women in particular, it's prioritizing everything else over themselves, right? And so, you know, it takes something, right? Out of the heat of the moment, people can get really behind themselves, and then to take it and bring it into action, it really takes something. It takes something to bring it to life, but I promise you can practice and you can get better and better at prioritizing the things that fuel you and allow you to show up as your best self. Just like you said, Stacey, put your own oxygen mask on first.
Amazing. Well, this has been so incredible. So many takeaways for our audience. Thank you so much, Dr. H. We'd love to just end with three things that you would like to tell our audience that they can start implementing today to help them reach their health and wellness goals.
Yes, absolutely. So the first thing I invite your audience to take with them throughout the rest of this week is a question And that question is, what is my best game right now? What is my best game right now? So taking that question from moment to moment, whether it's meal to meal or, you know, bookend of your day, but bringing it with you really throughout your day is going to land you taking actions that are more aligned with your intentions than the broken all or nothing approach, right? So what's my best game right now? That's the first thing. And, you know, thinking about how this might be lived, this is an example from the other day. I really wanted to get 30 minutes of yoga in during the day, and you know, work happened, life happened, things happened, but I did get 10 minutes in because I could get 10 minutes in. And so instead of saying I can't get 30, I'm done, I took my 10 minutes and I relished every moment of it. It was great, right? So that's an example of how you might play the game, call, you know, play what's my best game right now, right? So that's number one. Number two is I actually invite you to begin a practice of bookending your day. So bookending your day, starting your day, reminding yourself what your intention is for your health and your life, starting there from your home base. And then at the end of your day, I invite you to count your wins. So actually acknowledge yourself for new actions you've taken, and they do not need to be perfect. They can be better games, right? I got my pizza with vegetables instead of sausage. Amazing. If that's a better game, I'm going to clap all day long, right? And, you know, number three is really being gentle with yourself in the journey, right? Being gentle and consistent with yourself. So again, harnessing that ability to come right back when you do fall off the monkey bars of change, because you will, because you're human, right? It really, can it be a game of how quickly can I get back on, right? And actually circle right back to that first question, what's my best game right now? You know, I just had a call with a woman who is just been such a pleasure to work with. She's really devoted to her health and has made tremendous changes. And she was sharing how on Saturday, she had more alcohol than she intended to, right? And the thing about it is that now she's able to get right back on track. So on Sunday, she cared for her body in a way that is aligned with her intentions, and that wouldn't have happened before, right? So right there is one of her wins, right? So, you know, being gracious with yourself when you fall off the monkey bars, going right back to what is my best game right now.
Amazing suggestions. And I, you know, these are just, you know, strategies or steps that we can take that could truly change our whole behavior and perspective. And it just takes like putting yourself, you know, first, giving yourself 5 minutes each morning and each night to change your perspective and move forward in a more positive direction. Thank you so much. This was so informative and so valuable to our listeners. Can you please tell our audience where they can find you?
Absolutely. So you can find me at wellempowered.com, and please feel free to schedule a complimentary 30-minute Zoom consultation. We can look at partnering. I'm happy to answer your questions. We can talk about what it looks like to work one-on-one or in one of my upcoming collectives. And then also you'll find all kinds of free resources, lots of free mini Monday webinars and more extended webinars on there. And then on my Instagram at Well Empowered is also a great place to connect as well.
Thank you, Dr. Jessie. See you later, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening. If you found this episode helpful, we'd love if you left a rating and review and shared it with someone else who would find it helpful. You can find more information about Leah at gracefunctionalnutrition.com and get in touch with her through email at leah@gracefunctionalnutrition.com or on Instagram at gracefunctionalnutrition. To find more information about Stacy, you can find her at healfromfood.com, email her at stacy@healfromfood, or on social media at healfromfood. See you next time.